I want more women to experience confidence elevating style so that they can go out in the world and show up more fully.
Welcome everybody to this episode of Mindscaping. Today I am welcoming Jennifer Milkey of Style Crush. Hi Jennifer, nice to have you today.
Hi, so great to be here.
Thanks for joining us. Can you tell the audience a little bit about Style Crush? What is Style Crush?
Yeah, so we are the first member-owned cooperative resale marketplace online. And if you're not familiar with the cooperative model, basically what that means is that instead of being funded by venture capital, we will actually be funded by our members, and the members will then own the company. So we anticipate to scale up to the size of something like Poshmark or ThredUp or Etsy. But when we do, and when we have big profits like those companies eventually have, those profits all flow back into the community rather than out to external financiers.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So that's like the structure, which we're super excited about. And then the functionality of it, because we won't be VC funded, we'll be able to really focus on making a marketplace that's super user-friendly and really makes it easy for buyers to buy things and for resellers to sell things. And so that's kind of central to our process in building it, is like, how do we make it really easy for somebody who's maybe like secondhand curious to come onto the platform and find clothes they love very, very efficiently?
Oh, I can't wait for that myself. Personally, I was just telling you on the side, I was just telling you about a pair of jeans that I'm trying to hunt for. And it's just all of these little details. So yeah, easy and efficient is the best, because we only have such big attention spans these days, right?
Exactly. And you know, like, so, I mean, my, like, personally for me, finding really great stuff secondhand is sort of what I think of as my superpower. But I know there's a lot of people, I've talked to so many people through the years who, you know, they really want to get out of fast fashion because of their concerns about the environmental or the ethical implications, but knowing what to do instead tends to be a really big challenge. So the idea here is that, you know, we just make it really easy. In fact, so easy that it's going to be even better than shopping regular retail.
Awesome. Super intuitive then. Yeah.
Yes.
Great. Well, as you know, this podcast is about mindfulness, and I like people to kind of tell their stories about how mindfulness came into their life and how it maybe gave them an aha moment or shifted the direction of their life or maybe their daily habits. And I'm wondering if you had any stories about that. And, yeah. You know, that could look like anything, like mindful movement, meditation, you know, something that someone you studied with, something you learned. Is there anything you want to share?
Sure. I mean, there's so many moments.
Right.
I think that, like, I'm generally a pretty, like, heady person. And I got into the fashion industry by accident. Really, it started as like a day job after I came to New York to be an actor on Broadway. And I worked for this little, I mean, she wasn't little, she was an independent designer. And I think just like seeing the inside of the fashion industry with a lot of like awareness really opened my eyes to what was happening in that world and like what the unique challenges were. And, I opened a boutique, and I think, I mean, this isn't sort of traditional mindfulness. I wasn't practicing yoga back then. I had been a dancer all my life. And so I was very like body aware,
right,
you know?
Right.
I don't know, I think it was more my nerdiness. Like I really liked to like analyze and pay very close mindful attention to what was going on around me. And I guess developed theories about it. So being inside the fashion industry from that perspective, I really learned a lot. And then it was around 2005 where I went through like a sort of major moment of transition in my life. I had moved to Miami to open a boutique, but like all by myself. I didn't know a soul there when I moved there. And I was 20, when I moved there, I was 23 years old. So super young, doing this like big, huge thing all by myself. And at the end of that time, when I closed my store and I was thinking about moving back to New York, it was just like, I started asking a lot of questions. I started torturing my boyfriend with all of the questions that I was asking. And he started doing yoga and that to deal with me. and so then I started doing yoga with him, and it was just such this amazing connection for me. I was raised pretty very religious. My family is Catholic, and that faith was always a big part of my experience of life. And then in my early 20s, I sort of didn't feel aligned with that anymore for a number of reasons. And so yoga was this thing that brought together my background in dance and like being really super embodied, and also that like mindfulness of sort of prayer and that internal attention and the connection to something bigger. And I think from that moment then was really where my mindfulness journey began, and it's informed everything. I mean, it's really, I think, what has helped me zoom out and really look at the big picture of the way that everything's connected. And especially, I mean, you know, it's funny, the fashion industry, so often it has this reputation for being something that's kind of frivolous or like a luxury, but it is the third largest industry in the world. Right. And you're probably hard pressed to find one industry that impacts more people, specifically more women worldwide, and has a bigger impact on the planet. You know, so it is actually this thing, and it's something that we all participate in, you know, because we all wear clothes.
Right.
So it's this like really direct kind of on-ramp into this total connectivity, is the way that I started seeing it. And, so that was kind of like the early days of my journey. Mm-hmm. And then when I had my first child, I just, it was like I lost my mooring in like my own personal identity. Like I was 33 when my first son was born. And, you know, I had spent 13 years developing who I was as an adult woman in the world. And suddenly I like dropped the role and the title of mother on top of that. And they felt really disconnected for me. And, and I was having a hard time like refinding my own personal identity. It took me maybe like a year and a half. And I realized that I kept putting aside like the way I was dressing. I just like wore whatever was on hand because dressing felt like not important. And then on this journey to find my way back to myself, I had to find out how the new me dressed, because my old way of dressing was really no longer working for me or appropriate for me.
Right.
And so like really cueing into what I wore, being intentional about what I wore, and seeing how I showed up in the world differently when I felt great about the way that I was dressed as versus when I didn't, was a really big part of my journey to sort of say like, all right, I'm going to actually, you know, commit my energy and my focus to this question of helping women access more confidence using like the way that they dress as a way to sort of fake it till you make it with finding your confidence and finding your identity. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. And I notice a difference personally. I don't even have any face-to-face things today, not even over Zoom, but I put makeup on, you know, I put my hair back, I got dressed, I have jewelry on, and it's such a different feeling of how you're bringing yourself and how you're facing the world. It's an important thing, I think, to consider, and it definitely boosts your confidence and helps you interact with people in a different way.
This year has been an interesting time, you know, also to kind of step back and I'm in the middle of like building something that's all about clothing and style and confidence, which is a very funny year to be doing.
Right.
but just personally watching myself and how I've, you know, how I've felt called to be in my wardrobe this year has been really different. And I think that, you know, there's definitely a crowd of people around me who are very much in that space of like, I have to get up, I have to get dressed, I feel better when I'm that way, which is cool and awesome that people are recognizing that about themselves. And what I've found personally for myself, we did the quarantine thing pretty committedly, and we live in LA, so you know, already you're like sort of isolated there.
Yeah.
So I just never saw any, I saw very few people in the course of the last year. And I found it was the opposite for me. I would just like basically put on whatever was next to me on the floor when I got out of bed in the morning. And I felt totally fine about that. And what I realized is for me, I think style is something that exists in the space between me and the world around me. And with my family, it didn't matter, you know, but as soon as I started going back out into the world again, then I wanted to like step more fully back into style that I really enjoyed. So it's been an interesting process this year. I think there's like these two things, like for sure, some people need to get dressed to feel put together and like feel ready to take on the day, whether it's virtually or just on the phone or whatever. But there's also a thing that I think is totally okay where, you know, you can acknowledge like, oh, in this context, that actually is not that important to me. And that's right. Fine too. I think the interesting thing about the fashion space, a lot of times we get pelted with like should be doings in a way that disconnects us from what we honestly, authentically feel from within ourselves about what the right way is to be dressed in any given moment.
Absolutely. Yeah. So many expectations are put on top of us, you know, beauty and fashion industry. So I think it's really important to try to be mindful of how you feel doing each thing, you know, experimenting. And I think a lot of people, I think there was a split during 2020, especially where, you know, people that used to get up and get dressed every day and wear heels and jewelry and full on makeup and, you know, false lashes, whatever, the full thing, just, you know, they bought a bunch of loungewear and they stayed home. They put the filter on their Zoom and they're like, that's good. And then there are other people that maybe didn't used to do that every day and they have more time, first of all. So they're experimenting with that. I think there's been a lot of experimentation and seeing how we do feel as women in these different roles or these different masks, the different identities. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's been an interesting time too, because there's been like this forced slowdown that gives us, I think, a moment to consider, to get curious about these things and to try different things. When you're in the flow of life with very established patterns, you're sort of just flowing with those established patterns, right? But all of a sudden in March of 2020, for most of us, all of those patterns were like completely interrupted. And once you're out of it, you have the opportunity to sort of stop and consider, oh, what could be different? And I think I see in my life, at least, not just with fashion and clothes and things, but a lot of people making, you know, location changes and relationship changes and career changes. And I think that that's something really beautiful that has come out of the last year is the opportunity to pause and have more space for mindful consideration of how we want life to look. And then, you know, more of an ability to go after that.
Absolutely. It's almost like a macro level of what can happen in meditation when you're getting into self-reflection and you're seeing patterns, you know, either internal patterns of thoughts and ideas and beliefs or these external patterns of how I approach the world. How do I go out in it? What's my behavior? What do I feel that I need to do? And then you're looking at these patterns, you start to witness them finally, and say, is that something that I even want to do? And why did I start doing that? Does it still apply to me? Is, you know, what is the direction I really want to move in? So it feels almost like a macro of the micro of that mindfulness of the repetitive things or behaviors that, you know, we adopt and sometimes even sure why. Where did that influence come from? Did it come from media? Did it come from, you know, an old friend from decades ago. Do we still need it?
What are these? Yeah. What are these old meanings and stories that we're just carrying around?
Right.
It's been, I mean, 2020 has obviously been a struggle for so many reasons, and, you know, a lot of people have, it's been a difficult time, but there's also sort of, I think, this other side of the coin that is really meaningful and has provided a lot of space.
Yeah, that couldn't have happened if this all hadn't have happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. I was going to ask you if during 2020 you adopted any new mindful techniques or behaviors. you started trying out dressing differently and like dressing down and how that felt around just being around your family. But was there anything else that shifted for you?
My world took like an opposite turn in a way, because it got much more full with my kids being on hand all the time.
Yeah.
losing that little daily space of school, you know, was a real thing. And I can't honestly say that I did a very good job of adapting any good means of of balancing that out. Aside from, you know, I tend to be, for a long time now, I say like I practice the yoga of life, wherein like there was a time in my life before I had kids where I practiced a fair bit of yoga. And then there was a time where I sort of stopped a formal practice, but really tried to carry it off the mat in a way, like into real life. And I think this year has given me lots of opportunities to continue that work.
What does one of those practices look like?
I mean, I think it's just trying to behave, like as a parent for sure, trying to behave proactively with like a very mindful attention to how I'm responding to my kids. Like when they're triggering me, which happens all the time, like what is that trigger about? Can I stay neutral in the moment? If my, you know, 3-year-old is having a temper tantrum, do I have to join him in that tantrum?
Right.
Or could I maybe stay neutral? I think that's one thing. Like, children give you many, many opportunities to to choose a neutral path as opposed to really letting your emotions carry you along. What are the meanings that I'm making about things? That's a really big one. You know, I try and sort of, if I'm feeling a charged reaction to something, I'm also really intentional about sort of saying like, oh, I'm feeling really charged about this thing. Like, let me quickly notice that sort of manifestation of that and how and why is it there and how and why might I move beyond it? You know, or what needs to shift here in order to not like push it down and hide from it, but like process it and move past it.
Right. Is there anything that else I can learn from it? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Because I think of, you know, their kids are also a really good reminder, because I'm telling them all the time, like, what if you got curious about that instead of frustrated? Or what if, you know, like, what does that mean to you? And is that true? So it's also a really good reminder for me to be asking myself the same questions.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's a great opportunity. You get a double. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm like trying
to remind you.
About that. Like, you learn the best when you're trying to teach someone else.
Totally. That's why I do what I do.
Yeah. I know. Yes, exactly.
I understand then from like a mindful behavioral aspect how, you know, dressing and feeling your best can help you bring out the best attributes. And I know that's one of the goals. But I feel like there are myriad goals with this venture, right? Obviously, pollution and consumption and that kind of thing from fast fashion. But what are some of the other main points where you think this business that you're launching is going to bring mindfulness, you know, not just to the community, but maybe to the whole world?
It's a big thing. I mean, first and foremost, I think I want I want more women to experience confidence elevating style so that they can go out in the world and show up more fully, right? Like that is a ripple effect that going to change the world, I think, in untold ways, because the more that women have confidence and power, the more I believe the world is going in the right direction.
Yes.
So that kind of is like where a lot of this began. And then on the sort of bigger like impact and social justice side of things, there's so much. So if we start at the basic level of deciding to build this as a co-op, because we're doing a decentralized marketplace, so that means that it's you're buying from individual resellers. Individual resellers are largely women, often who are doing this as like a side hustle to make extra money to make ends meet. So there's right at that level, there's a degree of if we can make this easier for them, we're funneling more money back into the pockets of small business owners and largely women. And I think that's really important and good for society. I think that then, like, if you go up a step to the cooperative structure, you know, it was interesting to me to watch the Poshmark IPO that happened in January, because that company, which is about 10 years old now, they're facilitating over $1 billion in transactions annually at this point. And those, yes, of course, the platform is important. They like, you know, provide the space for that to happen. And yes, of course, they do a lot to bring the buyers into the marketplace so that sellers can sell. But ultimately, without the work of these resellers, the company, you know, wouldn't be worth anything. And so to watch that IPO happen and know that at the end of it, the founder of the company is holding $600 million worth of assets for the value that all of these individuals have created felt really off to me. And so the idea that we could build this in a way where those assets and that profit and value flows back into those resellers. So now they're building wealth beyond just their own hustle. They're building wealth that is coming from something that we're collectively building. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited about that. And then you like zoom out a little bit further and we talk about, you know, fast fashion, absolutely devastating what like this, the human cost of our addiction to new clothes.
Right.
And it spans the industry from the low end to the high end. The supply chains are so deep.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is the brands themselves run factories or approve of factories that sort of have all the safety mechanisms in place so they can say all our factories are safe. But in reality, what's happening is those orders, there's such a pressure for low price and fast turnover that those orders get subcontracted out to other factories.
Right.
And then that's where like the shady business is happening. One thing that I often encourage people to do is buy secondhand as often as you can. And then when you need to buy something new, spend the much more money that it costs to make garments environmentally and ethically sound, you know, and by saving money on the secondhand pieces, maybe you can then afford to spend more for the responsible pieces. So you're funneling your money to companies who are doing the work to pay to ensure that their employees are, or not their employees, that the women who make their clothes are, you know, experiencing fair pay and safe workplaces and things like that. But ultimately, you know, I still put my focus on secondhand first because many of these women are also working in places where the environmental impacts of climate change are going to displace them in the short term. So it's this super complex and layered issue that's really hard to know where to begin to fix. And I think that there's not one right answer. I think, you know, individuals need to be informed consumers so that you can make a choice about what is the best path for you. Because there's a secondhand first option where you can, like, this is what I've done for the last decade. I have bought almost nothing new. I buy everything secondhand, from the housewares that I need to the clothes that my kids wear to my clothes. As much as possible, we buy secondhand. That's one way. For people who don't have the luxury and the privilege of time to do secondhand, you could still buy from fast fashion and just buy a lot less. That's another way that mm-hmm. you could sort of impact change in this industry. You know, the whole industry, I mean, our whole system is set up to sell us more and more and more things. That's what makes capitalism go.
Of course.
So one option is just to opt out of that and only buy what you really, truly need. And I think that that's a perfectly respectable choice, even if that mm-hmm. means you're buying from Walmart because that's what you can afford, or you're buying from H&M or wherever, you know. That's perfectly acceptable. Just be a conscious consumer of what you actually need. And then for people who have more money and or maybe want to buy things new, you know, look to the sustainable and ethical brands. And it's usually smaller brands who are actually doing the transparency both in their manufacturing and in their environmental impact. And they're out there, but it takes a little more work to find them. The platform that I wanted to build was originally going to be an aggregator of items from socially responsible brands, so that you could go to one place and search for what you were looking for. And then there's a number of other people working on similar things. I don't know, I just ended up landing on secondhand because I think secondhand for me is the best way to kind of opt out of the system.
Right. So when can we get to Style Crush and start checking out all your finds? When can we start shopping?
You can start shopping now. In fact, now's a really good time to get involved because we're just in a beta community point right now. The way that this is going to be super easy for buyers, Style Crush, is that you don't shop for items. You go and you browse a collection, a really nice diverse collection of outfit inspiration. And when you find an outfit that you like, you get directed to pieces that you could use to recreate a similar look in your size and in your budget.
I love
it. So it kind of takes that, like that process of maybe going and looking around for style inspiration and puts it together with what you need to buy to execute the outfits that you like, right? The platform eventually will do all this automatically. But for now, in our beta community, we are doing it manually. So people can come in and they can drop in a picture of an outfit that they like, and we will go out and find a collection of, and like tell me what their size is and tell us what their budget is. And we'll go out and find currently available secondhand pieces on all of the platforms that they could use to recreate a similar look. Or if they don't have the outfit inspiration, they can also drop a comment on any look that anybody else has put up on the platform, and we'll still do the same thing. And they say like, oh, I love this outfit. Can you find me these pieces in a size 8 for, you know, under $20 a piece? And then we go out and we see what's best available for them.
That sounds so amazing. Really.
It's so fun.
It's so much fun. And so just making it so much easier to be sustainable and get things that you love too.
That's the whole idea. And also we talk a lot too about how to get better use out of what you already own. So when I put up an outfit inspiration, I'll break it down to like what the component pieces are, and to get people thinking about like, oh, I actually have, it's not the same color, but I have a skirt that's shaped like this, you know? And so I could pair this with, you know, this other top that I have. And then all I need is the sweater to go on top of all of it, you know? So getting people thinking about how they can get better use out of what they already own.
Well, Jennifer, congratulations. This is really exciting. I know it's been coming for a while and it's transformed a little bit, but this sounds like such an amazing, useful project. And I know it's going to have a really large impact. Where can people follow you?
So if you want to join our beta community, you can go to stylecrush.co and you can like read a bit more about what we're building. And then there's a link to join the community. Also on Instagram at secondhand, which like is 2ND hand, Style Crush. So you can find me on Instagram as well, but we're most active in the community.
Wonderful. Well, I'll see you there, and hopefully some of our audience will jump over and become community too. This is going to be an amazing effort. Thank you so much, Jennifer. We can't wait to hear more.
Love chatting with you.
I want to thank the audience for tuning in for this episode of Mindscaping, and I hope you found some great pointers here in this talk, and I hope that you'll join us again soon. Until then.